What You Need to Know is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And of course, don't forget, Lindsay Theory will be joining us at 11:30 because there's some issues potentially with the NFL. Sean McVay lent some voice to that. And she'll join us on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. But here's what you need to know. We had breaking news earlier in the show, literally in this first or second segment of the show. Gavin Lux has been optioned. Now, I don't believe that it has anything to do with any sort of conspiracy theory. We basically had Dave Roberts on June 26th, and he kind of laid it out for us, right? Laura, if you have the sound, he kind of laid it out that even though he was very high on Gavin's future, that it wasn't necessarily a given that he was going to be on the team. I feel like that was probably more newsy back then, and we probably didn't pay as close attention to it as we needed to. But here's what Dave Roberts said on June 26th here on this show when I asked him about Gavin Lux.
Yeah, you know, Gavin had a really good off-season, extended off-season, second off-season. I don't know what to call it, but he was in L.A. For the initial off-season. Then we started spring training, went back to Wisconsin, and he's continued to get strong and work out. And just for me, the last year, to watch his confidence grow has been fun and him just mature as a big league ball player. But right now, honestly, we have, again, we're going to have 15 position players. We have a lot of guys that we can move around the diamond. So Gavin certainly is going to be on the roster, and, you know, we'll see how he performs. But we have a lot of good options for second base as well as all over the diamond.
Greg, we normally are pretty on top of this stuff, but it feels like we didn't read between the lines on June 26th that, yes, he was going to be given every shot, but he didn't perform, and it wasn't a given, even had he had performed, that the Dodgers weren't going to go with a more veteran presence considering the 60-game sprint.
Yeah, we usually are on top of that, and Dave Roberts really alluded to it, and we missed it. But Gavin Lux was a guy that there's just too many veteran guys in front of him that are playing really well, and he was late coming into this summer exhibition. So all that combined together just says, come up when we need you.
Yeah. So it just feels like they're going to go with the veteran presence. Kike Hernandez, right? Chris Taylor, those guys, they've been there. They've been there through the playoffs, right? They've had big moments in the playoffs. They trust them. And this is about winning a championship. And we'll get to that down the road here in a few minutes. I want to specifically cite why I think the Dodgers, man, this is their best shot. Like, I think they're poised for greatness, and I'll get to that in a second. We move on, though, to the high school sports, Greg, and the CIF is reporting California high school sports won't start till December or maybe January at the earliest. I know that's not what parents and even kids want to hear. We did our whole hometown heroes thing where we did we did our senior shout outs. It feels like the sports, even for the local kids here in high school, is going to potentially be truncated again. And who knows, right? Like, we have no real idea as to whether this thing will get off the ground. But I feel like reading this story in the LA Times that the schools and the districts and the state is going to do everything in their power to try to help these kids play. But man, it's not easy right now. You're trying to hit a moving target, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we talked about when it came to the college sports, that they're not getting paid. So to put these kids out there when they're not actually getting paid and in the middle of all this is very difficult. I know LAUSD is doing that where everything is shut down, and my daughter's school is shut down to just going to online. And I wouldn't want any of my kids going anyway, because I just don't know what the long-term effects of all this, if they do get it, what the long-term effect is. So I just wouldn't trust it, and I think their safety, and while they're not professionals, it's just smarter.
Hold that thought, because I want to get to the schools here in California in regards to the virtual learning and the stuff that they may have to endure. We'll get to that in a second, because I want to talk to parents about that and this high school stuff, the restart, the potential restart. But last story for you here, Natalie Portman and Serena Williams will headline a group that has brought a National Women's Soccer League team to LA. The National Women's Soccer League has been going on. It's got, I believe, 8 teams in the league, and now we'll add an LA team with some star Hollywood attractions and some obviously big names in sports with Serena and Natalie Portman. Listen, I love Serena. I think she's the most accomplished female athlete, arguably, in the history of sports. I'm a huge fan of her, so her bringing another woman's sport here. I have a daughter. Greg, you have a daughter. I think that stuff is cool. Laura, I would imagine you think it's awesome that just there's going to be another professional women's team here, right?
100%. We got to represent for the ladies.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And also, look, I'm not going to lie. Natalie Portman, she's the one. What do I mean by, and by the way, let's just end it now. Let's end what you need to know here again, presented by Progressive Insurance. She's the one. Do you know what that means, Laura?
I do. She's your one celebrity crush. And is she your pass? Is that what it is too?
She's my get out of jail free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody has one.
So if Mrs. Sedano, if I told her, honey, Natalie called and she wants to go to dinner post COVID. And I can't guarantee you that if she makes the moves on me that, it's not going to be, I'm not going to fall for it. She's beautiful. She's the one. Not that you're not the one, but she's also the one. There can be more than one. There can be the one and one, she's the 1A, Natalie. But she is the celebrity crush. So, there's that.
Now, that's what you're saying. And you're saying that she is the get out of jail free card. Does Mrs. Sedano say it's the
get out of jail? I mean, I don't know. I may be projecting. I may be projecting. But she knows that if she were going to lose me to somebody, it was going to be it's going to be Natalie Portman at some point. If it were, not that I think Natalie Portman's coming my way anytime soon, but if there were an opportunity for her to lose me, and it would be for Natalie, then that would be it. Like, she just knows that that's just where we stand.
I mean, that's not a bad, if you're like, I'm losing to someone, I mean, Natalie, you know what I mean?
I mean, she's an Oscar award-winning actress. She's a Harvard graduate. She's beautiful, too. Like, she's the whole package, too. So it's not like, look, there is always someone, and Natalie's my one,
Does it matter that she was in the bad Star Wars?
No.
Why would you remind him of that?
I don't know. It's fun.
No, and they weren't. There are no bad Star Wars, Greg. I am a huge fan of the Star Wars movies. I love almost anything that the Disney company, the Walt Disney Company, puts out, because I'm a great employee that way. How about that?
That's all very true. Yes, yeah. That is a great point.
So for if Bob Iger, Bob Chapek are listening in Burbank, I do love the Walt Disney Company, and I do love those Star Wars movies, including the Lucas prequels. So there you have it.
I will not argue with any of that.
Okay, fair enough. Who's the one? Do you have a one? Bergman? No, Bergman, you can't even go to the supermarket wearing wearing his sweats. You don't have a one, I bet.
No, I 100% have a one, and I've never.
Oh, wait a second. So you can go. You have a one, a get out of jail free pass, a wild card, let's call it, and you can't go to the supermarket in sweats. Like, get out of here! I don't buy that.
You can't dress yourself, bro. But
yeah, seriously.
No, I can dress myself, but she just says like, "Hey, you're going to the store." We don't need to get back into that conversation. This conversation has moved on. We've gone to the one conversation, and that one, I do have one, and it's easily Margot Robbie. And ooh, no matter what happens, Margot Robbie is always going to be that person.
Laura, who's the person?
I'm single, so I have.
I know. Remind everyone.
If you weren't single.
At geek _.
Oh, my. Okay. Greg, thanks.
Unique with a U. U-N-I-Q-U-E. Yes, yes.
It would be for me. Oh, Morris Chestnut.
Oh, Morris Chestnut. That's a little
Morris
old school,
Chestnut,
but I like
yeah.
that. Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. That's more. That's a little off the board, but I like it. I like it because it's off the board. He's a handsome man. He's one of those guys that's so handsome that I feel ugly next to him. And I don't think I'm ugly by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think I'm super handsome, but he's that handsome that I would feel ugly next to him. There are a few people on earth that make me feel ugly. He's one of them.
He's gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah. It's not daydreaming. Gorgeous. Yeah. Yes, very much.
So it is good to be back here on the show. And I'm thankful to have to be back here on the show. It was a nice time off. I had some stuff to do for work still. But it is nice to be back and It is like riding a bike, unless you're Laura, because Laura doesn't know how to ride a bike doing a radio show. So it's fun to be back. Laura, you did want to say that the analogy for you, if it's not riding a bike, which is what most people say, it's like riding a bike. You know, mm-hmm. You never forget. For you, it was something. You can say it.
Okay. I wasn't sure. It's like sex. You know, you could never forget how to have good sex.
You can't. I agree. You either got...
You got it or you don't, man.
You don't. Right. Exactly. I'm with you 100% on that. Like, you either know what you're doing or you don't know. And particularly as you get older, you know. Okay? Now, if you're like 20 or like 18, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know. But once you get to like late 20s, early 30s, even 40s, okay, you know. Now, once you get past 40, you may not want to put in the effort to know. You know what I'm saying? But you know, is what I'm saying.
Lazy. But Laura, how much do you equate dancing to sex?
Oh my God. I'm Latina, bro. So yes, a lot. If you can't dance as a man, I feel like you're not performing right.
So if you don't got rhythm, then you can't, then you're not good at bed.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good dancer.
Fellas. Are you asking for a reason? Like, Greg,
no, I'm just curious. Do
you know how to dance?
Didn't he say he didn't know how to dance last time?
I am a good dancer. Thank you.
Okay.
Very much.
Okay. Good dancer.
Thank you.
I'm afraid of what we just talked about, and you guys just threw my Twitter handle out there. I'm like, that wasn't a good follow-up.
Don't slide
here.
Into her DMs, all right? I don't want any of that, all right?
Thank you.
Close your DMs, Laura. Close your DMs. All right. So anyway, the Dodgers, real quick. I want to get to LeBron after this and the Lakers and kind of where they're at and Sean McVay, because Lindsay Theory is going to join us at 11:30. So real quick on the Dodgers. Let me explain something to you about the Dodgers, Greg, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I think the Dodgers are absolutely poised for greatness. And again, if you're just tuning in, Gavin Lux was optioned down. No real conspiracy theory per se. It just, you know, it seemed fairly obvious as we were just kind of deducing it in our head right off the top as we got the news that they're just going to go with a more veteran presence, right? Because they trust them in a 60-game sprint, whether that's Kike or Chris or both, or just a number of different guys and options that they could have at second base, including 15 different position players that they have anyway. But here's why I think the Dodgers are poised for greatness, okay? And Alden Gonzalez had this on ESPN.com today. The Dodgers, Greg, ranked in the top five in the majors last season in OPS. They ranked in the top five in at-bats per home run. They ranked in the top five in walk percentage. They ranked in the top five in weighted runs created plus. And practically every single damn important offensive statistical category that we could ever make up, okay? They were legitimately a juggernaut offensively. So let's take inventory here. Then they've added Mookie Betts, an MVP candidate, and they have now the designated hitter at their disposal. So, and by the way, they've got a ton of guys that they can rotate in that designated hitter spot. Yes, I look, there are other teams that are great. The Yankees lineup is incredible too. The Astros lineup is incredible too. The cheating Astros. But the Dodgers' versatility, the depth, I mean, for the love of God, they just sent down Gavin Lux, who was the overwhelming favorite in Vegas and amongst the experts on ESPN.com to be the rookie of the year in the National League. So their depth and versatility is just unmatched, I think, in all of baseball, really. You know, you got, I mentioned Betts, you got Cody Bellinger, right? Who's also an MVP candidate. I mean, they probably have the two best all-around players on their teams in those two guys. So, you know, with the depth, as I mentioned, Jock and Muncy and Turner and Seager and Pollock and you know, maybe Lux comes back. You never know. Like, all that to available at their disposal, like, it's just an incredible, you know, opportunity for them. And yes, in a sprint, I understand that it's you know, crazy things can happen, right? But think about it, man. Like, they are just offensively as good as anybody, I think, potentially in the sport's history, right? Like, arguably, granted, it's only 60 games, so you'd have to, you know, extrapolate that out over a 162-game season. But over a 60-game span, they could have a record-setting pace, Greg.
Yeah, they absolutely can. And you got to remember a couple different things here. Last year, you were talking about all the top five offensive categories. They were also top five in what people thought was their worst category in relief pitching. They were top five ERA amongst relief pitching, which is pretty incredible when everybody thought that they were terrible at it. And adding in offensively a healthy Corey Seager, that changes everything. I don't think people really realize what a healthy Corey Seager was. He was a rookie of the year. He was a two-time All-Star. He has been nothing but a doubles machine. He led the team in doubles last year. He's going to do it again this year in this 60-game set. Corey Seager is going to be that guy that just is always consistent and getting runs across the board over and over again. It makes a huge difference having him healthy for the first time in 2 years. So this team is the best in my lifetime. I thought last year's was my best in my lifetime, and now you're adding in Mookie Betts to all of this. Plus, you have still a very good starting pitching rotation because Julio Urias is an absolute stud, and we're all going to see what he can do.
He's looked great in the scrimmages that I've been watching. And by the way, it's awesome to be watching baseball on DirecTV. Dodger baseball on DirecTV has been fantastic.
It's been so nice.
Yeah, so nice. You don't even have to steal it, allegedly, Greg. Like, you can just watch it on regular TV.
No idea what you're talking about. That's a myth.
All right. So we'll continue the Dodger discussion. Lindsay Theory is going to join us at 11:30. But coming up next, LeBron has tabbed this the revenge season. I'll tell you why he's on to something in a sec. We're back in 2 minutes. So Donna with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Whether you're taking the trail or you're just hanging out on your terrace or your deck and the dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. So I want to apologize in advance because I think I just threw out my back.
You're right.
Up out of the chair. It's not super bad just yet. I have texted my wife to run down and get me to Aleve and some Gatorade because maybe I just am not hydrated. I was drinking a lot of wine over the last, 10 days or so. So maybe that's just,
vacation.
And I also was working out a lot, maybe a little harder than I should. And I'm 42 years old and I probably need to do a better job of understanding where my body is at this point. So. I was not literally riding my bike. I was actually hiking a ton and going for like 9 and 10 miles. I was pushing it from the 7 and 8 I was doing previously to try to do 10. And I think I just pushed myself a little too far. And I didn't work out yesterday, which is interesting. I tried my best to kind of just because I felt like my body was betraying me a little bit. So I'm like, I'll just take a break today. So, yeah. So anyway, if anyone's got any back remedies other than to Aleve and some Gatorade to hydrate my muscles again. Feel free to call at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. All right, so
alternate,
here's the deal.
Alternate between ice and heat.
Well, yeah, the ice part for sure, but I'll have to wait till a break to do that. In the interim, LeBron and the Lakers. So, Laura, LeBron and the Lakers are back in the bubble, and we had that cut earlier that I want to play again, which is the cut about the MVP race. And, you know, LeBron, what I'll give LeBron credit for is that he will call people out, right? Like, he is not afraid to go directly at the folks that have been his detractors. And I've always applauded him for that because I feel like as someone who works in this industry, we tend to go at people a lot. And usually it involves athletes, right? Or coaches, right? Like you go at them and you're like, oh, I would have done this better. I would have done that better. And it's just the nature of this particular industry and this particular medium and platform that we have. I like that LeBron, goes back at guys. So here's what LeBron said about when he was asked about the MVP race. For those that don't know, the MVP race was basically shut down, right? All the awards, the individual awards were shut down. They were stopped because the league feels like that because not every team is represented in the bubble, that they're only going to count the stuff that happened through mid-March or whatever, which I'm fine with. Like, I don't care. It's a large enough sample size. It's not a big deal. But here's what LeBron said about that and the MVP race.
No, I'm not disappointed because, you know, things happen and control what you can control, and I can't control that. But as far as the MVP race, I think I, you know, show what I'm capable of doing, you know, not only individually, but from a team's perspective. Us being number one in the West, there was a lot of conversation about LeBron can do those things in the East, but if he ever came to the West, what can he do? You know, I heard all of that. And to be able to have our team at the top of the Western Conference and playing the way that we were playing at that time and the way I was playing, you know, that's definitely a good feeling.
Yeah. All the stuff about the East and the West. Greg, you've heard it, right? Like, were you one of those guys? Because people used to call me all the time, especially last year when he got hurt. Oh, LeBron's hurt. He's never played in the West. This is it. It's over. Boo, boo, boo. I can't believe we signed him for this long. Like, I don't think you were that ridiculous, but there were plenty of those people. But were you wondering how he would fare in the West?
Yeah, I wasn't one of those guys that was like, oh, his career is over because he got hurt for the first time ever. I wasn't that guy. But I was, before he came to the Lakers, I did say, I mean, he's doing it in the East. This is just very simple. It's totally a different world than it is in the West. And it's true, because doing it in the East is different than doing it in the West. And I was that guy. And I'm, as watching him actually play and what he's doing on the floor and how he's changed his game to being the point guard of this team and probably the best one in the league at this moment, it's impressive, and he absolutely deserves the MVP.
We know you were one of those people, Laura.
Oh, yeah. She's still one of those.
I knew that was coming. I was waiting. Look, I said it. I will give him his props all day long. Yes, I was one of those people that were like, well, he's doing it in the East, whatever. Come over here and let's see what you got. And he shut me up. So I have to give him that, right? Like, he's doing his thing. He's proving me wrong and proving everybody that didn't think he could do it, he's doing it. So, I mean, there's not much for me to say besides he's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, he is doing it. Right. And that's just it. He is winning it. And Greg, let me ask you this. Because of how bad it's been for the Lakers and they've gone through this kind of historic drought, what do you think a championship would mean for this city and for Laker fans if they were to win right now? Like, for you, Laker boy, put your Laker boy hat on.
I think that this would be a gigantic boon for this city and for this team and all around. And it's going to get a lot of people like Laura and my brother, who still hates LeBron as well.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Don't hate him.
You do, stop. Mm-hmm. So it's going to change everything for us because we went through that whole time and because he's kind of ingratiating himself into the LA landscape, and for everything that he's done, it makes him one of the best players of all time based on winning three championships with three different teams. It's just a whole different feeling for being here in LA. We've gone through such a downturn, and you have the Dodgers that are playing well too. I this is just a gigantic year for us. Well, I need it.
Not just the three championships with three different teams, but being the leading man.
Yes.
Winning those championships with three different teams, because let's not forget that, you know, Robert Horry's done that, but he hasn't done it as the leading man. And by the way, let's not diminish the fact that Kawhi Leonard is also trying to reach that same feat, right? He's also trying to be, because by the time he won that finals MVP with the Spurs, he was clearly the best player on that Spurs team with Duncan and Ginobili and Parker, because all those guys were getting old, specifically Duncan and Ginobili. And you know, then he won the one in Toronto. So he's vying for that same feat. Like, I do think that plays a role in this. Like, I think that individually for LeBron, he'd like to be that first guy to do that because Kawhi's right on his heels.
Yeah, he is. And I think depends on if you're talking about like a career perspective or just this, what's happening right now, because for an entire career, this puts LeBron, in my mind, if he does this, ahead of Jordan, or at least like right there with Jordan. And if you do this, And if you do this with Kawhi, he's just not there yet. He doesn't have the career that LeBron has had yet. He could eventually get there and pass everybody and be in that same conversation. But the career-wise, the legacy-wise of it all, goes more towards LeBron than it does towards Kawhi.
No, yeah, I agree with that. But you don't think it would irk LeBron if Kawhi's the first guy to win? Because that's going to be on that's going to be near the top of the resume, right? First player as the leading man to win three championships with three different teams.
Absolutely. And that changes. And if it goes that way, it does. If Kawhi wins this year and gets that accolade, then LeBron's legacy is hurt by it.
I don't know if it's hurt by it. I feel like that's a step too far. But not to the next level.
You know, I just think, I just don't think, if he does win it, his legacy takes a big, giant step forward, like a gigantic step up, whereas he would just kind of stay where he is right now, which is still an incredibly amazing top five of all time. But if he gets this third one with a third different team as the leading man, he takes a big old leap. Whereas if Kawhi does it, he kind of starts having that conversation more for him.
By the way, how do I sound with a thrown back potentially?
Sound fine to me.
Yeah. Laura, sound okay?
Yeah. I think no difference, Ray.
I'm standing. So I have the microphone in my hand from my unit. I have been pounding Gatorade. My wife brought me the Tua Leaf, but then I just realized because I do the intermittent fasting, I can't take the Tua Leaf right now yet because I don't have anything in my stomach and it's just going to destroy my stomach. But she did just bring me an ice pack too. So you know what, honey? If Natalie comes, I'm turning her away. If you're listening right now, that's it. If Natalie comes, I'm turning her away, at least until my back gets better. How about that? And then, you know, I may revisit and look.
I'm sure she's very happy.
Good call, George. Good call.
Yeah. You know what? I think it was just, you know, it was like, what is the phrase? Nothing is worse than a woman scorned, right? I think it's just she got like a voodoo doll and threw my back out after she heard me talking about Natalie Portman.
Oh, yeah. She heard it from wherever she was. She was like, oh, I can feel it that he's talking about Natalie Portman.
Talking about Nat. Yeah. Me and Nat.
All of a sudden, it's a woman's fault. Okay.
All of a sudden, I got a back, my back through. Do you know how long it's been since my back was thrown out? Easily years. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I haven't put my body through this that I'm trying to do, you know, physically in probably many years, too. And I'm also 42, and I also drank a boatload of wine over the last 10 days. So I just think all of that is coming to roost. But I still think that there may be some voodoo involved. Could be just me. I mean, you know, I also am Cuban, right? So, like, there's plenty of that in my background.
True. You know,
my people. Not me specifically, but my people. My family. We respect it. Just how about that? That's just how I look at it. Greg, you know nothing about that stuff. Only Latinos know about that stuff.
I was like, trust me. I feel you, man. Respect.
You got to respect it. I may not believe in it, but I respect it. And I think there's a difference. You know who also I respect? Of course, the great Lindsay Theory. Sean McVay is wondering if we'll get a season started here. He's kind of, he sounds iffy on it. So we'll talk to Lindsay Theory about that. She'll join us in 4 minutes. So now I'm with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Lindsay Theory who will join us in a second, appear via the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. I just realized this is the second time in my career that I've done a radio show while I threw out my back. Yeah, it happened another time. I was, years ago, I was filling in on the Lebatard show. And I was in doing his show on from the South Beach Studios. This is pre-TV, so it was I could just stand like I'm doing right now. So either way, this is what happens when you get old. Lindsay Theory, not old, joins us here. She is a young, vibrant, smart reporter who will join us here. Lindsay, I'm literally battling through right now as I talk to you right now. Ice pack on my back. I have never felt more old right now at 42 than I feel right now talking to you.
You was a really nice introduction to still call me super young, but I will tell you, I haven't thrown out my back yet, but every time I stand up, my knees go crack, crack, pop, pop, and I just think, oh boy, it's coming, it's happening. This is called getting older.
It's the worst. It really is terrible. So anyway, thank you for enduring my nonsense, and I appreciate the time. So I saw the Sean McVay quote on Dan Helley's podcast of the NFL Network about his doubts to the regular season potentially getting off on time. What are you hearing from the Rams, from the league, in regards to the potential start of the NFL season?
Yeah, so the league, the NFL and the NFLPA yesterday agreed on testing protocols for players to come to camp, which means that the first day they're going to all be tested. They're going to self-quarantine for a few days, test again. If they're cleared of that test, they'll then enter into training camp and be tested every day. Beyond that right now, though, the date for veteran players to report is July 28th, but it's just so much up in the air. Nothing has been solidified. We haven't been told, hey, show up to Rams training camp practice on this day, that day, because it's such a fluid situation. I don't think anybody truly knows right now what this is all going to look like. And when you do start having players arrive to town and you do start testing them, nobody really knows what to expect as far as how many positives you're going to have and how long that could delay the process. So I wish I had a more solid answer, but right now it just seems to be changing by the minute, and nobody really, really knows exactly what's going on.
Lindsay, I felt like the players almost had to strong-arm the NFL into this testing. What was your read on that?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. The NFL Players Association isn't known to be one of the stronger unions among the professional sports, but I think they did a pretty good job at forcing the issue of making it known that they want to play and they just want things to be safe and they want to be kept safe. I know several players, there's a couple in the Rams who either have brand new babies, have wives who are pregnant, these guys, we all know they're in good shape, and we just talked to Andrew Whitworth. He had COVID, had mild symptoms. That doesn't mean that it couldn't be bad for somebody. But we do need to remember that these guys all do go home to families and to pregnant wives, or maybe they have, elderly parents who live with them. So everybody's got a unique home situation. I think that's probably their number one concern as they get ready to return to camps.
What do we know about the preseason? I know you said that the rookies will report and the veterans are supposed to report here in the next several days. But what do we know about the amount of games? Is it still just going to be two? Is that still up in the air?
Yeah, it's down to two, but even that's up in the air. The Board of Representatives of the NFLPA, say that five times fast, they voted to eliminate all of the preseason, but they don't know if that'll actually pass, only because there is, and we have to remember, there is a whole fraction of the NFL that are undrafted players. And those guys, they already didn't have the off-season program to demonstrate what their ability is. They're going to have a very kind of abbreviated training camp opportunity because these teams are going to have to put a lot of effort into getting their starters and reserves really ready to go. So it's those undrafted guys who make up about 10 to maybe 12 spots on some rosters who really are going to be lacking for opportunity. So if they could keep one preseason game, it could be probably guys like that who really stand to benefit, to put something on film so that if they, inevitably kind of do get cut from the team who they're in camp with, that other teams have a chance to look at what they are able to do.
Lindsay Theory joining us here, NFL reporter, insider for us here at ESPN, covering the Rams and the Chargers. I saw recently that Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, was just kind of lamenting the fact that there may not be fans in his new stadium. He doesn't even know if the season also is going to get going on time. What are the plans at SoFi Stadium? Is there a plan for fans, or is it? Are they just considering maybe not having fans this season? What do we know about that?
It was all the season tickets and ticket purchasing. It was all sent out with an asterisk, about delays, cancellations, refunds. So right now that also kind of remains a fluid situation from what I understand. A lot of it's going to be determined by the local government. The stadium is in Inglewood, so it's not going to be beholden to what's happening in the city of Los Angeles. Though obviously, as we all know, LA and LA County, the city and the county tend to be kind of in lockstep with their decisions. And plus, it's going to be come down to what the governor says is allowable. So, again, everything is just so fluid right now. And I know that one thing the NFL has done throughout the pandemic has been to delay making significant decisions as long as possible. While that definitely is not ideal for planning purposes, they've done that just because things do tend to kind of turn on a dime and change on a dime. The information we learn or kind of where testing is going and the rates of positivity. So everything is just so fluid that the NFL is trying to stay nimble. But at some point, they're going to have to make a call whether SoFi is going to debut with no fans, some fans, and it would probably be a far cry to have many fans.
Lindsay Theory with us here. Lindsay, let's talk about the product on the field. Where do you see the Rams being deficient?
At the beginning of the offseason, I probably would have said, despite them having Aaron Donald, I would have said that defensive front, only because, you know, Michael Brockers was originally on his way to Baltimore, but his return is huge. I think their pass rush is going to take some time to develop. Those are two big losses there, with Dante Fowler departing for Atlanta in free agency, and then cutting Clay Matthews for cap space. They signed Leonard Floyd, but his time in Chicago, he's a former first-round pick, but his time there, he really didn't pan out to be what they had hoped for. Plus, the Rams are going to have to go back to Samson Ebukam, who has shown promise there, but he lost his starting role to Clay Matthews, which is obviously no serious slight given Clay's resume, but it definitely might be a little bit of a learning curve for the pass rush. I don't by any means think they're going to be deficient at running back, but it's going to look a lot different without Todd Gurley, even though he had fewer touches last season. Opposing defenses just had to account for him. I mean, you're the former NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Even if there's reports that you've got bad knees, defenses still have to respect you. So that's definitely going to change the dynamic there on offense.
Lindsay Theory covers the Rams, covers the Chargers, joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Lindsay, thanks for the time, and keep those knees iced as I'm icing my back as we speak.
Yeah, you take care. Don't overdo it, whatever you do.
All right, Lindsay, thanks again. Take care. There she is, Lindsay Theory. Make sure you follow her on Twitter. She's one of the best in the business, and she does a phenomenal job covering the Rams and the Chargers. All right, coming up next, there are a lot of questions about LeBron. There are a lot of questions about the NBA. There's a lot of questions about who will win the awards. We'll get to all that in a second. We're back in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Lindsay Theory for stopping by there. Download the Overheard podcast from the curiously delightful conversations overheard from National Geographic's headquarters, presented by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. And our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Whether you're taking on a trail or hanging out on your terrace, your deck, or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes, like summer wherever you are. Thanks again to Lindsay Theory for joining us there. Thanks again to Amin for joining us earlier as well. If you missed any part of their interviews, you could always subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast. It was good to be back today, despite throwing out my back. Super weird. I feel a little better. Here's what I've done. Now, could you tell during the break that I was eating? During the interview that I was eating?
No, I couldn't tell at all. I didn't even...
Okay, good.
You were eating? What were you eating?
The only thing I was able to find, I was able to quickly, and again, I'm not moving all that quickly, but I was able to grab a couple of hot dog buns. They're brioche hot dog buns, so they were tasty. And I grabbed two bananas. Bananas full of potassium, and I'm downing a 32-ounce Gatorade. I've probably gone through about two-thirds of it in that time. So then I took the two Aleve, and I'm hoping that thing kicks in soon. I do have the ice pack on my back with my right hand, holding the microphone with my left hand. All that happening while conducting an interview. I'm a freaking pro, okay? Well,
and this is why you got the job that you did, and no one can even tell unless you told us.
Yeah, this is going to hurt later. I hate getting old. What the hell?
Yeah, it's not fun. Hey,
I'm even in good shape, and I feel, and this happened to me.
Well, you only got about 10 more minutes, and then you're off, and then you can go do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And try and take a nap. Hey, I'm looking at Twitter right now, and I'm seeing this random thing from NBA Central, from NBA TV, and Channing Frye talking about how, and I would love to know what you think about this. He says that the Lakers have no answer for CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard if they make the eighth spot without playoff Rondo.
Oh my God. All these guys love Rondo. it's amazing to me. Look, Damian Lillard and nobody has answers for Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, regardless of who they are. Okay. Maybe the Clippers, because they have Kawhi and Paul George. But Avery Bradley is more important than Rondo in that situation. And by the way, I still think like KCP and Caruso are fine. I don't think that it's a huge issue. But, yeah, I mean, of course they're a problem. They're one of the best backcourts in the league. They had, I think last season, before because CJ got hurt this year, I want to say they were like second or third highest scoring backcourt, maybe third highest scoring backcourt in the NBA behind Harden and Chris Paul, I guess, at the time, and Steph. Yeah. So it's like they're a problem for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that that's so overblown.
Right. It's also, I mean, you're talking about playoff Rondo was very much a thing in Boston, and that was still a little while away. His defense is not what it was when he was in Boston. So to say that playoff Rondo was going to, you know, lock up CJ McCollum or Damian Lillard, I just think that's a little bit overblown.
Yeah, I agree. I think it seems silly at this point. Let me ask you a question about the Lakers, okay? I'm going to ask you these questions. Laura, can you find me some NBA music if you can? Because I want to ask you a couple of Lakers questions, and then I want to talk to you about kind of my picks for the awards. I know that Ramona and AK did it yesterday, but I want to just kind of give them to you my thoughts here kind of real quick. But let me ask you some Laker questions real quick. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
I asked the mean these, so I want to get your thoughts on them, Greg. Okay. Where will LeBron rank at the restart? Like, best player on the planet, top five, or just outside the top five?
He's still the best player on the planet.
Okay, fair enough. Next question. I agree with that, by the way. Lakers winning a title. I feel like I know where you're going with this, too. Lakers winning a title would be more, less, or as impressive as LeBron's other championships.
I mean, yes, you do know where I'm going. It's more impressive. They're playing with a team that they're just put together for the first time in 1 year, and it's just him and AD. They don't have three guys. They have two guys. It's more impressive. And after all the coronavirus, yes, more impressive.
I mean, the circumstances make it maybe more impressive, but is it really more impressive than beating the Warriors team that won 73 games?
I mean, there's
down
a lot 3-1 of things.
3-1 in a series? I think we know context there, too. That changes the dynamic some, too.
Right, yes. The whole Draymond Green dynamic changes a little bit of that, too. But yes, that was very, very impressive, but you still had three guys compared to... Well, actually, Kevin Love wasn't playing in that series, was he?
So, no, Kevin Love was playing.
Oh, yeah, he was playing. So, yeah, it's three guys compared to two. It's just a different... There was just injuries and other things that happened. I still think that this... overall
okay,
is more
that's
impressive.
Fair. That's right. You don't have to defend yourself that much. It's okay. I was just asking a simple question.
Right. And answering.
All right, so here let's do next season. Fact or fiction? LeBron James will be the best player on the planet next season.
Fiction.
Yeah. It feels like Giannis and Kawhi are coming, right? Like
Giannis, Kawhi, and then Kevin Durant's going to be back too.
Right? Kevin Durant. That's a good point. Kevin Durant will be back. How many more seasons do you think LeBron plays?
Three.
I'm going to go four. I think he's going to play till he's 40. I think that is like a benchmark for him.
When is Bronny coming in?
Bronny, in theory, would be...
Three or four?
Three.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he gets 1 year with Bronny if he makes it in, and that's, and then he's done. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How many more titles do you think LeBron can win?
I think he's got this year, maybe one more, one and a half.
Yeah, I would set the over-under at 1.5. I think that's a good place to set it. I think he's definitely got one in him. I think this year. I think it's his best chance. You know, I've talked about that for numerous reasons. I think a lot of it is external stuff, right? Father time, clearly, undefeated. Kawhi and Paul George will have another year under their belt. The Warriors will be back. You mentioned KD, right? He'll be back, and Kyrie will be back. The East will be tougher. Jason Tatum... I know nobody loves the Celtics around here, but is it fair to say that Jason Tatum is like on the rise to being a superstar? Like, it seems fairly obvious, right?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He went off that one game against the Lakers where he just went crazy.
He was incredible. Yeah, he was incredible. And he had a number of those games down the stretch. Let me ask you this then. So I gave you how many more titles. Does LeBron James, yes or no question, does LeBron James finish his career with the Lakers?
Yes. He does.
Oh, I don't think so.
Where do you think he goes?
I think he finishes wherever Bronny is.
Okay, so if he ends up like on the Wizards, you think LeBron will go to the Wizards for that 1 year?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's possible.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the deal. All right, so let me ask you these questions now. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Let's switch over to LeBron James and ask you this. Do you believe... Actually, you know what? Let me pause here. Let me go in between LeBron stuff. Let's do our the awards. You ready?
Ready.
All right. MVP. Go.
LeBron.
Yeah, me too. Defensive player of the year.
Anthony Davis.
No, it's Giannis.
I know.
It's going to be Giannis. You know
it is going to be. It is going to be Giannis. Yes, I know. But I think it's Anthony.
Yeah, it's going to be. He was the best player on a historically great defense.
In
like
the,
literally
in the
historically
East.
Great.
In the East against garbage. East. Against, he played so much garbage over there. It's,
What does that have? Historically great doesn't have any. He plays the West too.
No, he does, but he played mostly just the bottom feet. A lot of games against the bottom feeders of the East.
Greg, they're just as good against the top teams as they are against the bottom teams during the regular season.
I understand. I still don't. I'm not sold.
Okay, sixth man.
Sixth man, Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, Montrezl Harrell has been fantastic this year. I know it's generally the Lou Williams Award, but Montrezl Harrell deserves a lot of love this year, and he's doing it in a contract year, so good for him.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Coach of the year.
Ooh, that one's...
That's a tough one. Are you going to go Vogel and be a total homer?
I mean, it's tough not to, but I mean...
I mean, it is...
The guy,
Who's the guy in Memphis? Taylor Jenkins.
Taylor Jenkins is my pick.
Vogel deserves to be in the discussion. I'm not saying that he doesn't. Like, he absolutely is a top four or five candidate for it. But yeah, there's a lot of guys. Taylor Jenkins is one. How about Billy Donovan, right? The Oklahoma City Thunder were left for dead, and they're like the four seed right now. They had a 33-win over-under in Las Vegas. Nick Nurse just lost Kawhi Leonard and is like the fourth team as far as like odds to win a championship. Like, there's a lot of coaches in there, and even Budenholzer, right? Like, you have to at least give him some credit.
Yeah,
they were on a historic pace too.
Billy Donovan is probably one of the guys that should, because he was almost out. They almost fired him at the end of this year, and he came back and took him to a four seed, I think they are right now.
Yeah, so, they are the four seed.
Yeah, so that's a big...
They are the four seed. Who is the most improved player? We only have a minute, so we could save the second LeBron set of questions for tomorrow.
Bam Adebayo in Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, Brandon Ingram is close, but Adebayo is one of only five guys in the entire league to average 15, 10, and 5. And that in itself is enough. And his passing ability was something I never saw coming. He's averaging over five assists a game as a center. Like, that's just incredible stuff that he's doing. And again, it's no knock on Brandon Ingram, and it's no knock on, you know, anyone else, but yeah, that's it.
Also shut down Giannis. So
He did shut down Giannis. All right, thanks to Greg, thanks to Laura, thanks to Lindsay Theory, thanks to Amin, thanks to you guys for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow. It was good to be back, other than throwing out my back. Yeah, all right, we got to go. Love you. Talk to you tomorrow at 10.